Good evening, everybody. Hey, if I could just get the ushers to just turn the air conditioning down just a little bit, I'd really appreciate that. Anyway, I also want to point this out real quick. On the, I'm very excited to come to the youth conference, but look at this Photoshop here. I mean, it looks like Pastor Mez is almost as tall as me. No, I just want to say thank you to Pastor Jimenez and Miss Joanne and the Verity Baptist family. You guys are like my family, and we were part of your church at one point for a couple of years, and we are actually going to celebrate our fifth anniversary this coming week. So, fifth anniversary of Sure Foundation Baptist Church being a church, and so I'm trying to like quadruple how many churches I have by how many, you know, years I've been a pastor, but no, I'm just kidding. But I also want to thank my church family, Sure Foundation Baptist Church, and the many multitudes of churches we have for coming to this conference. And just really quickly, if you're from Sure Foundation Baptist Church, would you just stand up really, really quickly, please? If you actually attend one of our churches or have attended, all right, well, we travel well. Thank you. I just want to say thank you, everybody, for coming to the conference. And if I could just have my two evangelists stand also at the same time. So Brother Jim Weeb here, he's our ordained evangelist in Winnipeg, Canada, you know, our friendly neighbors to the north. And then we have Brother Daniel Kutzar here, and he is the evangelist in Spokane, Washington. So I just want to recognize, let you know that these are some of our guys that lead our church. So go ahead and sit down, guys, if you want. Now, also, I just want to say this. Before I begin preaching, that I listened to Pastor Jimenez's red hot, it was pre-red hot sermon called Preparing for the Red Hot Preaching Conference. If you missed that sermon and you're here today, it's not my fault. He warned you, all right? And you were pre-warned about language, yelling, screaming, hard preaching, and hard subject matter that not everyone can handle. So if you're upset and you're offended by the end of this sermon, well, then you just didn't listen to his sermon, so maybe you should go back and listen to it. And I think he's going to preach that every year as like a maintenance sermon or something from now on. But I actually really appreciated that sermon a lot. It made me realize that people were, you know, already warned about the preaching, but it also makes me realize that this church is growing and new people are coming in all the time. And that's very inspiring to me. Verity Baptist Church has just continued to grow, and there's so many people here tonight that you know, it's literally sweltering in here. So, anyway, so I just had to give those little shout outs real quickly. But the Bible says that we are supposed to cry aloud and spare not as preachers, and it is the Red Hot Preaching Conference. I'm not up here to wax eloquent tonight. I'm going to preach a sermon called Three Things to Beware Of. Now, Pastor Robinson kind of touched on some of the subject matter this morning, and he preached a great sermon. My sermon's going to be different, but it's obviously some of the same subject matter, so I just wanted to put a warning label on it, though. The gratuitous use of the F word is going to be used in this sermon. Not the one Pastor Shelley uses, by the way, but the F word I'm talking about is faggot or fag, okay? Now, like I said, the title of the sermon is Three Things to Beware Of. Look at verse number 1 in Philippians chapter number 3 there, where the Bible reads, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe." So this is a safety sermon. Paul was writing to the Philippians and saying, hey, there's some things that you need to beware of. Look what it says in verse 2. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. So three things that Paul says, hey, I want to give you a safety lesson here. You need to beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. So point number 1 is beware of dogs. Now, Pastor Robinson kind of showed you from the same scriptures I'm going to have you turn to really quickly here. And actually, just go to Psalm chapter 22 first, verse 19. But that word beware means to be cautious and alert to the dangers of. So when the Bible says to beware of something, you should take that as this is something that you really need to pay attention to because it involves safety, okay? Now, the Christian life is very rewarding, very great, but there's some things that we have to watch out for. And the Apostle Paul, who was really good at warning people about things, but it seems like a lot of times people just didn't listen. But you're in Psalm 22, verse 19, the Bible says, "But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog." And of course, this psalm is basically, Jesus Christ actually, you know, this is a fulfillment of Jesus Christ when it talks about the power of the dog. But when Pastor Robinson was preaching his sermon earlier, he was telling us that dog in a lot of scriptures in the Bible is talking about sodomites. It's used as a synonym for sodomites. But it says the power of the dog. So do dogs have power? According to this psalm, they do. Now, you're like, well, sodomites are sissies and all this and that. Yeah, but they're dangerous too. They are psychopaths. They are reprobates. And a reprobate is capable of doing anything. And so we need to steer as far away from them as humanly possible. Now look at Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse number 17. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. So, you know, at work they have those safety programs where they try to, you know, show us to be safe and all the things that we are. Well, this is Paul's safety program. He's saying we need to be aware of these three things. And the first thing is beware of dogs. Now, obviously, you've probably seen signs that say beware of dogs. Now, we probably should be literally beware of literal dogs too. That's why they put the signs up so that you don't get bit by them. Now, of course, if someone has a dangerous animal and they post that and then you walk in and get bit, that's your fault. And it's the same thing with these faggots. You know, if you've been warned about hanging around with them or letting your children be babysat by them, or you have some faggot cousin or Siamese twin or whatever it is that you have hanging around with you, don't hang around with them. Paul says, beware of dogs. Beware of them. Do not be around them. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17, it says, "There shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel." So as Pastor Robinson pointed out this morning, that you know you can do some pairings with the next verse. So Deuteronomy 23, verse 18 says, "Thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both of these are abomination unto the Lord." So the Bible says it's an abomination to be a dog. A sodomite is a dog. And guess what? There shouldn't be any whores of the daughters of Israel, but no sodomites also. So is there such thing as a Christian sodomite? Because this is what the game that they play now. Oh, we're saved too. We go to church. Yeah, you go to some faggot church where some bull dyke is sitting behind the pulpit. And, you know, they're just sending people to hell. They don't even believe the Bible. At these Methodist churches, they don't believe the Bible. And, you know, any church that flies a rainbow flag outside of their building is not a real church, folks. It's not a legitimate church. And if there's a bunch of faggots there, then there's a bunch of molesters there because they're all pedophiles. So there's no such thing as a Christian sodomite. That's just a misnomer. Now, look at Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. Of course, a lot of people, this is their life verse to... This is the one that they have tattooed on their back or whatever. Hopefully not. Leviticus 20:13, the Bible says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, excuse me, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." So I warned you at the beginning of this sermon, but look, this is just the Bible. Okay? We shouldn't have to apologize for what the Bible says. And Christians trip and fall and stumble over this issue so much. And I mean, I just got an email before church saying that someone saw an article about me in the local newspaper and how, you know, I shouldn't be hating people and stuff. And it just kind of pissed me off even more. It's like, here's the fuel to ignite my fire tonight. You know, they came to our church, but you know what? I'm glad they don't want to come back because they're like, well, I was in a relationship with a woman for, you know, this is a woman. I was in a relationship for a woman for 4 years. And I'm like, well, hey, don't email me again. Don't come back to our church. You're not welcome. And I'm glad that that freaks out of our church, because I was thinking, like, they said, well, hey, these people were so nice that welcomed me to your church. And I was like, well, why haven't you come back? Like, and they were just like, oh, it just wasn't the right fit for me. Well, why are you emailing me telling me how nice our church people are? But then they're like, well, there was this underlying tone. The guys look really angry. And it's just like, guys just look like that all the time. Like, what are you talking about? Anyway, so, yeah, they're not welcome in our church. The Bible says that they should be surely put to death. Their blood should be upon them. Okay, what does that mean? Well, whatever instrument you use to put them to death as a capital punishment, then their blood is going to be upon them. And really, if you're spiritually speaking, when it says your blood shall be upon you, that you're paying for your own sins at that point. You're done. God, you know, and obviously that's a figurative way of saying it, but, you know, if you put someone to death, there's blood on them, right? If you throw rocks at someone until they die, there's going to be blood upon them. If you put a bullet through their head, there's going to be blood on them, right? Or on, you know, the wall or whatever. Depends on what kind of bullets you're using, right? Now, Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse 5. And I'm just, you know, because, you know, in that sermon, Pastor Menace said that there are some new people. So, and look, I don't want to shock value out of the service here, but if you believe the Bible's true, if you're saved today, this should not offend you at all. This is safe for you. This is a safety sermon, and you're like, well, you know, but my cousin, they're really nice, and they're really sweet, and they're really cute, and they're so funny, you know? But you don't know what they're doing behind closed doors. Do you think they're going to tell you the vile and wicked and beast-like things that they're doing? They're not going to tell you that kind of stuff. So even people that have, like, sisters or brothers or parents, God forbid, or any of this, look, you know, respect your parents. Honor your parents. But if they're a faggot, then have nothing to do with them. If they're your kid, have nothing to do with them. If it's your cousin, your best friend from high school, whatever. Because, look, there's more and more sodomites coming out of the closet than ever has been. The flood has been opened up, and nobody's shutting the door. And let me just tell you something right now. This church right here and other churches like it are pretty much the only churches that are standing against this. And this is why we always are persecuted by these freaks, why we're persecuted from the government, why we're persecuted from the bank systems and all this other stuff. You know, we had that MASA conference several years ago. And the moment that I arrived in Florida, my PayPal was completely deleted. And Pastor Mejia, Pastor Robinson, like, were you even there? He wasn't even there. He's like, yeah, mine got deleted too. It's like, how is this kind of stuff happening? Well, because behind the scenes, there's higher powers out there, right? There's higher powers that work for the devil. And so is there any reason why you would think that they're not going to, you know, activate themselves against us? Because really, if you think about the three things that it mentions here, the dog, the evil worker, and the concision, which is a Jew, they're all pretty much, you know, in tandem with each other. And really, these lines are blurred a little bit because they could be all three in reality, right? It's the evil trinity here that Paul is warning us about. Now look at Deuteronomy 22, verse 5. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So, you know, you can use this verse for a lot of different things, but ultimately God's saying if you put on a man's garment as a lady, that you're an abomination. Why? Because you're trying to look like a dude. That's why. And vice versa. And it's so funny because I think it was Pastor Shelley was preaching this the other day. He's like, if I came in to this church with yoga pants on, you'd be pretty offended. You'd definitely be offended if you saw me in them. But yet, women have no problem putting them on. You know, it's just, we just shouldn't be cross-dressing. But really, what does this verse get down to the details in? You know, trannies are freaks and an abomination to God. So why would you want to dress like a tranny? You know, trannies always dress up in these big floral outfits and dresses and skirts and all this stuff. Why? Because they want you to think that they are what they're really not. They pretend. You know, Pastor was talking about that person that that came in and infiltrated last night. We had someone that actually came into our church for 3 weeks, and it was a tranny. Now, but do you think that they dressed like a tranny? No, they didn't dress like a tranny. They took off all the fake makeup and dressed like a dude. I mean, the video, I couldn't even stand to watch this because it dressed back up to do this reveal video, recorded our church members. And it's like, did you guys think that there was something weird about them, though?
Oh, yeah, it was.
See? It's like, you know, but people act like we're just out to kill these fags and all this stuff, and that's not true. We've never told anybody to kill anybody. We've never condoned that Christians do it, but we just say they're not allowed to come in this church.
Right.
But so how do they get into our church? Look, don't get mad if some fag accidentally gets in here. The one last night probably tried to look as normal as possible, probably tried to talk as manly as possible, probably tried to just fit in. It's not like he jumped up and made a scene or something. They're scared. They're cowards. They come in and they're like, oh, we won this big victory or something. What victory did you win? They sat through some of the hardest preaching that they probably ever heard in their lives. I just, you know, it just made a comment on a YouTube video that I said, something I preach about. And I said, well, thanks for listening to the preaching. I mean, they had to sit in there and look, you know, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. And like our church family, I think it made our church look good. Because even though they sussed them out a little bit, you know, it was still like, they were still treating it like, hey, give it the benefit of the doubt. Okay? Now, obviously, they're not going to come in and drag because you know what's going to happen? They're going to get kicked right out the front door.
Right.
So you didn't score some moral victory by coming in and infiltrating our church. And our church treated the person pretty good, despite the fact that they did suss them out. So these freaks will try to come in, and they'll try to blend in and things like that. But look, transvestites and trannies are sick and disgusting. They're freaks. And like, this is the battle that's raging on in our country right now. This is a fight that's happening that we're not winning. Because we have a lot of things against us, but you know what? We're still going to win anyway. Because God's going to destroy all these freaks anyway someday. So, but you know, I don't really want to focus too much on that. I mean, we preach a lot of sermons about stuff like that. But I do want to talk about the subject of trans kids. Trans kids. Now, first, before I start talking about that, though, I'd like to list you some things that you can't do until you're 18 or 21 years old. Okay? Here's the list. Get a tattoo or piercing. Vote. Enlist in the military. Buy fireworks. Buy spray paint. Buy a pet. Drink alcohol, make medical decisions, give blood, sue someone. We know about that, don't we? Give blood, sue someone, be on a jury, play the lottery, change their name, get a credit card or debit card, buy stock, buy real estate, buy a car, adopt a child, get married, run for state office in most states. Work in a bar and serve drinks, even though you can't consume alcohol yet, which is... And look, I'm not saying that you should do any of these things when you turn 18 or 21. But be tried as an adult for a crime you commit. Those are things that you can do when you turn 18. As, you know, an 18-year-old, you're considered an adult in this country, which the Bible kind of gives the age of 20. But anyway, so here's some things you can't do at 18. You can't buy cigarettes at 18. You used to be able to when I was younger, but you can't buy cigarettes until you're 21 years old now. Would you agree with that? Does anybody agree with that? Yeah. You can't buy alcohol until 21. And obviously, I don't believe you should be buying alcohol at all. But 21 is the age limit that they have for that. Buying marijuana, 21 where it's legal. Renting a car. In most cases, you can't even rent a car until you're 25 years old. Can I get a witness on that one? Yeah. So we got a lot of young people that want to go to these, you know, all these events, and it's like they got a, what's that new app that people use? Huh?
Turo.
Turo, yeah. So they'll use the Turo because Turo lets them do it or whatever. And here's another one, buy guns. You know, and this is in liberal states. You have to be 21 to buy guns, right? So in California, I'm not sure what the rules are. I think it has to be one bullet at a time or something like that. Is that right? But I can't really talk smack anymore because now you can't have more than 10 rounds in any weapon in Washington. So they're just passing all these laws, restricting all these things. 21 for buying cigarettes, you know, that's hasn't been a long thing. Here's some other things that you can't do until you're 18 or 21. Work a full-time job over 40 hours a week. Who's worked as a 16-year-old or whatever and you can't work overtime? You know, different states have different laws, but you know, you can't really generally work a lot of hours. And if you're going to school during the school year time, you can only work limited hours. Is that true? It is true. So you can't purchase a rated R movie theater ticket until you're 18. And then they have the NC-17 rating. So you have to be at least 17 years old to buy a movie ticket. Now, you can't buy a car without parents' permission. Parents, and here's the thing. When you take your kids to the doctor, you don't just drop them off and let them make their own decisions, right? You have to be 18 before you can start making your own decisions medically, all right? In Washington, they just passed a bill about trans therapy, and they don't put an age limit on it. And it's for minors, okay? And so here's some of the, so you can't do all those things. And you know, obviously you don't want five-year-olds going to the bar and drinking, all right? You don't want anybody going to the bar and drinking, but you don't want anybody going and buying cigarettes. Just, you know, when I was a kid, my mom would write me a note to buy her a pack of cigarettes or whatever, and we would just walk down to the store. Here's the note from my mom, and they would sell it to us. I mean, I grew up in the 80s. It was just a little different back then. But, you know, I think then kids started just actually getting it for themselves and pretend it was for their mom. So they don't let you do that anymore. That's a big deal. But what's the point I'm trying to make? There's a lot of things that you can't do until you're 18 or 21. But you know what they're allowing to happen now? For children to make the decision to become another gender. And they're passing laws in order to make it really easy for people to do these things. Now, a minor can become some other gender. And you're like, well, that's hateful rhetoric, Pastor Thompson. That's not really happening. Why'd they make the law then? Why'd they pass the law then? That you can, as a minor, and if you're feeling, and I'll read you all the stuff here in just a minute, but as a minor, you can run away from home and you'll be protected and your parents won't be told where you're at because you want to get some gender reassignment or whatever. Be turned into a freak of nature is what it is. So first they just wanted to be able to get married. Love is love. Then they just wanted the ability to adopt children. And now, here we are, where now they're trying to change little children into something that they're not. Why would they be doing that? Why? Because there's a faggot agenda out there to molest children. Right. And that movie was talked about. I haven't seen that movie or whatever, but yeah, I agree. We should shine the light on all this pedophilia and stuff. And it should tell you something when everybody's downplaying that movie. It beat Indiana Jones. You know, Indiana Jones was a big movie back in the day. And it beat Indiana Jones outright on the opening night. Because you know what? People are waking up to this and the pendulum is starting to swing into the other area. And it is because, you know, once they were allowed to just take the mask off, the things and the horror that they're putting people through is wicked and sick. And you know what? Again, the new IFB is preaching about this. Why are we so persecuted? Because we preach against these faggots and these reprobates. And we preach against Jews too. I'll get to them. Don't worry. So, but here's things that minors can do. Now, it was several years ago, I think, but they allow children after 13 to make their own choice for mental health care. And this is kind of a gateway to where they can start getting medication and make their own decisions on mental health. So this is a dangerous precedent where they'll just say, well, you know, if you're going to put your kid in counseling or something like that, then you can, you know, they can choose whether the parent is in there or not, which opens the door to all kinds of different things. But, you know, they can't do, you know, they can't sit at the dentist by themselves to get a teeth cleaning because mommy has to be there the whole time to hold her hand, but they can take, you know, their own mental health in their own hands and get all kinds of Adderall or whatever kind of drugs that they want, right? And, you know, then they can also choose to stop taking things that they need to be taking when it comes to mental health. They also can get abortions without the parents being notified. They can also be taught in elementary school about faggot history and faggot agenda. I don't know what the rules are about this state, but I'm pretty sure that they allow that in schools here, don't they? In California, is that true? Am I wrong? Okay. Nobody knows. You homeschool. Good. All right. If there's any time to get your kids out of school, it's now. It's last week. Get them out of the public school. You're like, I don't know if I could do that. Hey, the alternative is some little Peter Pan could be trying to turn your kid into a sodomite. They could be creeping on them, grooming on them. And even the teachers, I mean, you see these teachers making these weird TikTok videos like, oh, I told all the kids that, you know, that it's okay to be gay. And, all, you know, they're making all these weird, you know what I'm talking about? It's stinking weird, man. Who's going to put their kid in that class? And look, and people go to these, you know, parent-teacher things where they're, you know, going to the school board and trying to, you know, intercede for their kids. Like, just get your kid out of there.
Yeah, that's right.
Just get your kid out of that situation. Why would you go and try to fight with a bunch of people that already have a fag agenda to basically groom your children into the next generation of freaks? You know what? Because they can't have children unless they steal them from somebody, they adopt, or they have some kind of weird whatever they do type of thing. And these dudes that adopt children and that are posting stuff on the internet, disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Two men that are fags have no business raising a kid. No faggot has a business raising a kid at all,
right.
My opinion. But anyway, so they can be taught in school. And, you know, and here's the other thing. You know, these fags get a whole month in June. Think about the other holidays that we have. How many holidays represent Jesus Christ in this country? One national holiday, which is Christmas, he gets one holiday. Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You have Easter that's not even recognized as a holiday. Obviously, you have Thanksgiving, which can be, you know, biblical in nature. But, you know, even veterans, people that died and fought in wars, what war did these LGBTQ freaks fight in? The fight to overturn our country? Let's give them a month for that. And look, it's not just the month of June, but now they have the month of October. Yeah. It's Faggot History Month then. That it's like, so it's Pride Month. Let's be proud about a bunch of freaks that walk around naked in front of little children and just do all kinds of weird convulsions and all this crazy stuff and show themselves to children. And people bring, I saw this one of an LA one, where a pride parade where the mom is like holding her kid and he's like trying to turn it. Have you, anybody seen that one? The kid's just trying to turn his face and he's crying. And his mom's like trying to force him to watch these freaks walk by. They're half naked. It is wicked. But now, so now they have 2 months. Does anybody know of any other months they have? I mean, it's starting to, why do they get 2 months out of the year? October used to be safety month. But you know what? Tonight is safety month because I'm going to tell you the way it is about these sodomites and freaks. And, you know, I'm not going to hold back because, you know what? There's no YouTube channel to get nuked, so I don't really care. Fag, fag, faggot, faggot, fag. Sorry, Pastor. Anyway, he don't care, hopefully. But so, look, minors can run away from home with the full help of the government in Washington State to become a transvestite, and parents will be withheld from the locations and not divulged to them. But they say, we're not taking custody of them. So basically what they want to do is turn them to be able to turn into whatever they want and then give them back to their parents' custody. At that point, you know what I would do? I'd say, bye, have fun in your host home. Don't ever come back. Bye. I would cut ties with any kid that was a fag. My own kid, any kid. I don't want to have anything to do with them. You're like, well, Pastor Thompson, you're kind of mean. Well, you know what? They're dangerous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul said this is safe for you.
Yeah.
We need to know this stuff, and we need to have hard preaching. And look, a lot of you already know all this stuff. But maybe there's people in this room that has never heard this type of preaching, and maybe you're a little offended. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm really not. I'm just trying to make you safe. So let's bring October Safety Month back again. So instead of just having 1 month where we preach against these freaks, you know, we should be able to preach against them all around, all year round. It's like a birthday. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate birthdays. They're like, we can give presents to people all day long or every day we want. Well, we can preach against the fags every day we want too. So anyway, I'm just going to read you this article really quickly. It says, a Washington State bill that would strip parents' rights to intervene on the kids' medical care in certain circumstances passed the House Wednesday, clearing its path to be signed by Governor Jay Inslee. He already signed it, though. It's already in law. But it says, an act relating to supporting youth, or Senate Bill 5599, allows host homes for runaway youth to house youth without parental permission. Furthermore, the host homes do not need to notify parents about where their kids are or if they're getting medical interventions. If there is a compelling reason not to, which includes a youth seeking protected health services. What are they talking about? To change their gender identity, to change them, to cut and chop parts off and add or possibly add parts on, or give them hormone blockers, puberty blockers, so that they don't go through puberty. Why do you think that they'd want to do that? Why wouldn't they want a child to go through that natural change in life? Well, maybe to keep, you know, fags like little kids. So you know what they want to do? They want to perpetually make this person a child, to look like a child, to not grow. Look, men grow hair. And when you get older, you grow hair where you don't want it to grow. Okay? But when you don't go through that change, then it's, you know, you don't grow that hair. And this is what perverts like. So they could be old and look like a little kid and feel like a little kid to them. This is the kind of stuff, this is the sick stuff that's going on in our government. And it needs to be called out. Because we shouldn't be putting up with this. One of our guys in our church, Brother Jason Graber in Spokane, he preached a really hard sermon. And he got some people pretty upset with him. But he had millions of views. He was on the local news and all this stuff. And he wrote, you know, in his sermon, he talked about all this stuff, but it's nuked off of YouTube. So I just thought I want to give Jason credit where credit's due. If I can get that sermon back up, I'll share it with you guys. But it's a great sermon. And he put a lot of really good information about it. And it's been preached on, I'm sure, with other people. But, you know, these people in the government are just basically licensing little children to be utilized however they want. Because once your parent doesn't have control of the kids anymore and you don't know where they're at, you know, they can do anything to them. What's stopping them from just trafficking these kids? Nothing's stopping them. So, and it also says, the protected health care services include gender-affirming care, which for minors arbitrarily included anything prescribed by a doctor to treat dysphoria, the bill said. So they can give them anything. Minors. I looked at the bill. It doesn't have like a certain age that I could find. And it says, gender-affirming treatment can be prescribed to two-spirit, transgender, non-binary, other gender-diverse individuals. I didn't even know what two-spirit was. But here's what it is. Traditional Native American two-spirit people were male, female, and sometimes intersexed individuals who combined activities of both men and women with traits unique to their status as two-spirit people. So, I mean, what, a bunch of heathens? You're going to go and try to go back to the way the heathens were? This is the problem, you know, with this going back to your own culture. You know what we need in this country? We need Christian culture. And hey, yeah, keep your culture as long as it's godly and okay. But don't go back to this faggot agenda. Why do you think God allowed the natives to be wiped out in the first place? Because they were sacrificing humans, okay? And, you know, the Aztecs were doing that. The Mayans were doing that. But look, it's been done all over the world. So why go back to something that God destroyed you for in the first place? It just doesn't make sense. But so here's what happens. So instead of contacting parents, shelters can contact the Washington Department of Children, Youth, and Families instead. So the government can take your kids, they can place them in a home where you're not going to know where they're at. And they're like, there's a hateful rhetoric going around saying that Washington is allowing people to have their children kidnapped. What else would you, what else do you call that? What else do you call that? Well, so in the Washington House has passed the bill, of course, allowing shelters to keep runaway juveniles from their parents to get abortion and or gender surgeries that include removing a girl's breast and uterus. So where they were are affected for the rest of their life. You know, it's calling them transgenders, but we call them faggots and queers and trannies, right? So anyway, it says, although framed by proponents as a bill to protect youth suffering from abuse, only stipulates that minors be seeking or receiving protected health care services. So that's all they have to say. I'm seeking protected health care services, you know, for a homeless shelter or a lost home to avoid informing the parents or legal guardians as otherwise required by state law. And here's the thing about kids, they can be talked into anything. If you get them beside some vile predator reprobate, you can talk these kids into anything. Oh, you know, I noticed that you played with that G.I. Joe. Well, you probably want to, you know, to some girl, you probably want to be a boy. And then they just put these things in their mind. Look, kids believe things really easily. And kids, don't let anybody tell you anything. Hey, if someone tries to say weird stuff to you, even at church, you go tell your parents. You go right to your parents and say, hey, this person's being weird. Because we got to be on guard. Hey, don't be embarrassed to say anything, kids. Stick up for yourself. Run away. Call them a fag. Whatever you need to do, just get away from them. Because that's what they are. So these kids, you know, they can't. What, like, what do you think's worse? Having a cigarette or a boy chopping his private members off and becoming a girl? Which one's worse? Well, they get the choice to do that, but they can't do the other until they're 21. I mean, what a twisted, sick government that we are under right now. It's bad. And this is Washington State, just a couple states above you. And, you know, I'm not here to bash California. I don't know what's going on in California as far as laws go, but usually they kind of lead the left coast. But I think that what's going on is there's a competition between all three wicked states and their governments. Oregon will go, well, hey, well, we're going to ban guns too. And then, you know, all these states, these left coast states are banning all these things that actually are in the Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms. They're banning them and trying to stop people from being able to buy guns. But, you know, we'll pay for out-of-state, you know, transgender surgeries. Because that's part of the bill, too. If somebody in Idaho is just oppressed because it's a red state or whatever, they can go to Washington and get the operation anyway. Now, let me tell you about this. Well, you know, here's the thing. It's a $1.9 billion industry. If you follow the money, this is why they're allowing it to happen. But it's not only that. There's perverts in high places.
That's right.
Why did the Supreme Court say that we couldn't put pedophiles to death anymore? Probably because they were pedophiles.
Yeah, yeah.
Wasn't that Scalia, what was Justice, what's his name?
Yeah,
Scalia, found in some weird, you know, perverted state or something when he was found dead. I mean, these people are sick. And you don't get to be in a high place like that unless the devil's your master, right? So, I mean, Ron Paul was our last chance, folks. So, $1.9 billion industry, each operation to do these things with the puberty blockers and the estrogen and the testosterone and the facial reconstruction to try to look more like a dude, the shaving of the Adam's apple so you don't just stand out as a tranny. I mean, they're getting the whole works done. $100,000 per person. That's what it costs on average. So, and then on top of that, they have to take this medicine for the rest of their life. $1,500 per year per patient for the rest of their lives. That's a lot of money. And guess who's paying it? Because if the state, like just in my state, in the state of Washington, who's paying that bill? The people that actually pay taxes, right? So I'm actually, without my consent, being forced to pay for transgender surgeries and abortions against my will. That's wicked. And guess what? You know, they pay for all this coverage, but they don't cover reversals. So, and, you know, people cannot, you know, minors can also identify as cats. I don't know if you've seen, like, now, look, I know that the cat box in the restroom, I think that was debunked or something. I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me, though. But people are like, you're teaching something that was debunked or whatever. I don't care. They're still identifying as cats in school. That's the bigger problem, isn't it? I mean, the litter box is a side issue. It's weird and gross. But if that's not happening, people are still identifying as animals in school. Like, did you hear that? It was in England where a teacher is just like berating these people because they're like, they're not cats. She was like, you're a bigot. You need to get out of here and all this other stuff. It's like, you don't belong in this school. I mean, we're at the point right now where people can say, I'm a cat, and people have to go with it. Like, you have to go with the crazy. It's really weird. You know what they can also do? They can dress and drag and do stripper pole dancing and dance sensually in the presence of adults. They're letting kids dress up and drag and dance in front of adults. It's a fact, okay? They can go into fag bars. I saw this happen in Dallas, Texas. And they were going. Kids were being allowed to go to this bar where they serve alcohol. I don't know if you know this. It says minors not allowed, 21 and older. But they're, for the sake of the fag agenda, they're allowing them to just come into these bars. And there's drag queens dancing in front of children. And the children are putting the bills in their waistbands. This is being allowed in our country. You know, and people always people say this a lot to me. They're like, I can't believe this is going on in Texas. I can't believe this is going on at all. Our president just recently had a pride day at the White House and allowed all these freaks to come. There were some of them were dudes that had, you know, they were looking like women and they had their shirts off and all this crazy stuff. But he affirmed his support in what he says are trans kids' rights. Let me just tell you something right now. There's no such thing as trans kids. Kids don't think about stuff like that. You put that in their mind. You're the one that's trying to make them a freak. Kids don't think about that. And you're like, well, how do you know? Because I was a kid. I didn't think about it. I mean, nobody thinks about that. Well, I really feel like I'm a man trapped in a woman's body. I was a man trapped in a woman's body, but then my mom gave birth to me like 9 months later. Good night. And, you know, people say, well, it's the preaching like this that makes these trans kids want to kill themselves. Look, they probably want to kill themselves because they've gone to a point of no return. Homos have always wanted to kill themselves because they know what kind of vile, disgusting freaks they are. And so, you know, some of them actually take what Jesus said to heart, probably. And, you know, put a millstone about their neck and were dropped to the depths of the sea. They found a way to off themselves so they don't offend more and get a hotter hell as a result. That's what Jesus recommended. You're like, where did Jesus ever say to kill yourself? Well, I mean, he just said, it's better for you to put a millstone about your neck and be dropped to the depths of the sea. And you know what happens when you go deep into the ocean really fast? You explode. That's what happens. Or implode. I don't know. There's that whole Titanic thing. I don't want to talk about that, though. But people are saying that our sermons are causing homos to want to kill themselves. It's like they've always killed themselves in high numbers. But now they're out of the closet, so there's more of them. And so there's more, you know, people killing themselves. But, you know, if a homo kills themselves, I'm not going to be sad about it. Are you going to be sad about it? I hope not. Because that's just one less freak in our society. The reason why the death penalty exists, and for anything that's a death penalty, the reason why it exists is to deter crime. And when people stop doing it, then it stops deterring the crime. And then when you positively encourage these activities to happen, then it just makes it even worse. Look at the state. I mean, obviously, I mean, yeah, our world's in a bad state, but you know what? Being a Christian, I wouldn't trade being a Christian for any other time. We're in a time right now where we can actually make a difference. And when you have these antichrists popping up, like Tyler Doka, just on my mind from the podcast, where he actually says he's Jesus now. He is the Lord and Savior. That's what he says. But he calls out the new IFB. Why? Because he knows that we mean something. Why is Jesus worried about the new IFB? I'm one of the 10 kings, apparently. Pastor Mejia, I'm sorry you didn't make it. You're a better podcast person than I am, that's for sure. Just not quite to the king level. I'm just kidding. He was really upset about that. I'm just kidding. He's a king in my book. Amen. All right. But yeah, I mean, we have these freaks just saying they're Jesus and all this other stuff. Look, the new IFB is important. And I'm just talking about independent Baptist churches that believe the doctrine I'm preaching right now. And they're like, well, you're just being mean. Well, you know what? Sometimes we got to be mean. Yeah. Elijah was mean. Sorry, yep. Elisha was mean. Yeah. I mean, he's like, don't even let Naaman come near me or whatever. You go tell Naaman to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. Preachers don't always have to be nice. Yeah. I try to be nice. I try to be friendly. But when it comes to this issue, I'm not nice about it at all. Because you know what? You're like, well, you preach about it too much. I mean, obviously, people need to preach about it more. Yeah. Because otherwise, it's just going to be worse. And look, if we can just stop one person from being converted by these freaks, if we can just change one person's mind, if we can get more people saved so they don't turn out like this, because just news of flash, again, I said, there's no such thing as a Christian sodomite. They can't be saved. They're reprobate concerning the faith. They're reprobate. They have reprobate minds. Because how do we know that? They're fags. They're disgusting. And it's just like, it's been crammed down our throat to the point where people think it's normal and they think we're the ones that are weird. No, you're weird. Your lifestyle's weird. Everything about you is weird. You look weird. You sound weird. You walk weird. You talk weird. You dress weird. You wear your hair weird. Everything about you is a freak show. So why wouldn't I preach against that? We have to go and be served dinner by these freaks sometimes. It just makes me sick.
Yeah,
you know, I sometimes I just need Anthony with me. He'll say, put that food down. He's been kicked out of all Taco Bells. No, he's been kicked out of a lot of places, though. But he'll just stop a fag right in the middle of making him a slushie or something. Like, hey, you grab that. It's pretty bold. Now, I'm not saying be mean to your waiters or whatever. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, it's sick that we have to see these people. Yeah. Like, I already just don't want to see them at all. And then I go to a restaurant, and it's like the whole restaurant is, they're all there. They're all working there. And it's just like, ugh. Anyway, so, you know, people are seeing our sermons or making people kill themselves. You know, they're just the fact that they're freaks is why they kill themselves. So why are they trying to turn children into transvestites? Well, it's because of the money. You know, $1.9 billion, but it's also just because they're sick and they're in high places in the government, and the government allows them to do these things. So look at Genesis 19, verse 30. Genesis 19, verse 30. Now, this is a really horrible story about a saved man and how Lot spawned two different nations here. But I just wanted you to pay attention to this real quickly. It says, and Lot went up out of Zoar. This is after Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed. They think the whole world's been destroyed. And dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him. And he feared to dwell in Zoar. And he dwelt in a cave. And he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto his daughter, our father is old. And there is not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. So you know how you make more children? After the manner of all the earth. Now, of course, this is a bad example of this happening, but the fact remains true. The only way to procreate is to, you know, procreate man and woman, okay? But they accuse us of being genocidal, but in reality, aren't they the ones that are genocidal? You know, if the whole world were faggots, the human race would die off. So you should be thanking us, you the freak queers. I want to tell you a story. You know, look, it's not over. There's a lot of bad stuff. And yeah, I mean, the media and social media makes it like really in our face about things. But, you know, there is hope for those people out there. And even despite the fact that all this propaganda exists, people still that are seeking the truth are going to find the truth. I was at church after service on a Thursday night, I think it was just last Thursday, and a pack of young hooligans came through. It was about nine boys. And I was just having to be in the parking lot, and they walked up to me, and they're like, "Hey, do you like gay people?" I said, "No, I hate them." And they're like, "We hate them too."
Yeah.
I was like, "I got some gifts for you guys." First, I asked if I could preach the gospel. They said they didn't have time. So I said, just hold on here for a little bit. I went in. I got 9 copies of The Sodomite Deception.
Yeah.
And the Preserved Bible. And then some invitations to our church and all the info on our church. I said, "Watch these. These are gold. This is gold. This is money. If you hate sodomites like I hate sodomites, then you'll love these movies." But like, that just gave me hope that like there is some normal kids out there. None of them had green hair. None of them had like piercings in their face. They're young teenagers, but they're not weird. You know, he probably knew from like the protests or whatever. Somehow they knew that I didn't like gay people. They were asking just to see what I would say or whatever. But of course I'm going to tell the truth. But we need to, you know, this is a safety thing. It's safe for you to know these things. And you're like, no matter how hard I preached about this, just listen to what I'm saying. They are to be avoided. We need to avoid these types of freaks at all costs. And let's go back to our text in Philippians chapter 3, verse 2. The Bible says, "Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision." So we need to beware of evil workers, and that's a broad term, isn't it? But I think that false prophets fall into this, but also people that creep into churches and try to destroy churches from the inside out. They're like cancers. They come, they act like us, they talk like us, they infiltrate, and then they try to do as much maximum damage as they can. Now, we need to avoid these types of people if we can, but obviously we can't always suss out the false prophets. Judas wasn't sussed out by the rest of the apostles. Jesus is the only one that knew he was bad. So they can fool you for a time, but eventually, you know, they'll reveal themselves. They're like sleeper cell agents. You know, they just kind of twitch, and then all of a sudden they just go bad. It's weird. But they'll eventually go bad. But, you know, other evil workers would be people that are from the outside trying to destroy a church. So, again, all these categories kind of blend together. But you need to understand that we need to stay away from these people. And once they are revealed, don't try to friend up with them.
Yeah.
It's like they want to drag you out of church. They want to hook you. And there's all kinds of red flags to this. Look, if people are downplaying your pastor or talking bad about your pastor in between services or inviting you over for dinner and bashing Pastor Jimenez, you need to tell Pastor Jimenez. Don't keep that under your hat and let them just continue to sow seeds of discord with you. You need to tell your pastor about it and rebuke that person. But, you know, one thing we should try to do is steer clear of these protests. You know, there's these people that go and challenge protesters and do... You know these like Proud Boys and stuff like that, and they try to get in fights with them and stuff like that. We should avoid all that kind of stuff. And why? Because for you, it is safe. Stay away from evil workers. And there's a lot of evil workers that come and try to attack our churches. You know, they try to just pull any trick that they can. They try to smear our names through the mud and make up just blatant lies about us. Now, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 3, 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Now, of course, we are living in the last days. Maybe not the last 7 years, obviously, but we're living in perilous times. We're living in dangerous times. This is also Paul. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." What is that? Like that's a textbook narcissist, right? People will love their own selves more than anything else. And we're in the generation selfie for sure, where people are using all these weird filters and all this stuff. But it says, "Covetous, proud, or boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." There's people that just despise you because you're a Christian. They despise you because you're good. And sometimes, just no matter how much good you try to do them, they will despise you anyway. But what's the Bible say? It's in verse 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Stay away from them. Isn't that what he's saying? Stay away from these types of people. It says, for this of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So there's people out there that'll learn all different types of things, but you know what they're never going to learn? They're not going to learn about salvation. Why? Well, it says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. So these people are reprobates that it's talking about here. Jannes and Jambres were these magicians in Egypt, and they cloned some of the things that Moses was able to do. But eventually, they just stopped being able to. They just said, "This is the hand of God. I don't know what to tell you about this one." But it says that they resist the truth. There's always going to be people that come against us. There's always going to be people that come against our churches that are resisting the truth. They want to stop the truth. They want to smear us and say all these ugly lies about us and just make up things that never happened. It happens all the time. And especially the pastors are the ones that take the brunt of these types of slanders and defamation, right? So, but look what it says in verse 9. Here's the silver lining. But they shall proceed no further. They go to hell, we go to heaven. And so, you know, the redeeming thing about this sermon is that we know that God is going to win. We're going to win because of God. He's going to step in and take care of business. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. The Bible says, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. So the Apostle Paul always had people following him around, stalking him, going from place to place. And then he would have people rise up in these cities and challenge him. These are evil workers. These are the evil workers he's talking about. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. I don't know what he did to the Apostle Paul, but the Apostle Paul put his name in the Bible. He said, the Lord reward him according to his works. What does that mean? Well, that God would do evil to him. Paul would never be mean to anybody. What? Doesn't sound like that to me. He's saying the Lord reward him for what he did. Yep. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. And look, there's going to be people that try to greatly withstand our words. But we just have to understand that these types of people are going to be around all the time, and evil workers are people that we should avoid. So the Bible talks about workers of iniquity. I don't have time to get into all that, but the Bible, you know, anytime the Bible mentions workers of iniquity, those people aren't saved. Those people are going to hell. There's no redemption. There's no redeeming quality about them whatsoever in the Bible. In fact, Jesus actually says, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. Yeah. So there's going to be people even pretending to be Christians that on that day they're like, well, we preached in your name and we cast out devils and all these things. And that's what Jesus is going to say to them. We've done many wonderful works. Well, people, you know, are going to do things to us thinking they're doing God a service, and they're really not. But a lot of these people, I think that they know exactly what they are. And they prove it over and over. But look at Psalm chapter 64, verse 2. Psalm chapter 64, verse 2. Actually, yes, verse 2. Okay. I'll give you one example. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. And that's an interesting word there, insurrection. And it means a violent uprising against an authority or government. So when you have all these riotous people, these people are coming against churches like Steadfast Baptist Church, or they'll be outside trying to do all these faggot weddings outside of our church, and they just want to take pictures of our kids. You know, we blocked them when they did that, and then they stopped. You know, they didn't come back. Because what do they want to do? They want to take pictures of our kids. That's weird. We know it's weird, but the police do nothing about it. They show up with AR-15s to our church. The police do nothing about it. You know, but I guarantee you, if I went to some fag bar with all my friends with AR-15s, we'd be in jail really quickly.
Yeah.
I said that to the cop, and he's like, No, no, you wouldn't. Child, please.
Yeah.
I saw a guy get arrested in Pennsylvania, and he was just starting to say a Bible verse. And the cop just grabbed him and put him in roughed him up a little bit and put him in the car. That's just saying a Bible. Is that a queer? You know, he was in a wrong place. He should have listened to the sermon. Avoid these people. Beware of these people. But, you know, they're out there trying to preach to them because they think they can be saved if they repent of their sins or whatever. But these people are violent. An insurrection is a violent uprising. And this is what they want. They want to come at us and do violence to us. Look at verse number 3. The Bible says, who whet their tongue like a sword. That means sharpen their tongue, right? And bend their bows to shoot the arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They encourage themselves in an evil matter. Yeah, we get to do some evil. Let's go burn that church down. Let's go mess with those church people. And this is what the types of things that they do. This is the things that they threaten. We're going to burn your church down. Should you believe them? I think that they're going to try. They bombed a church, right? Where's the national media there? Where's the feds? You know, they tracked down that killer in Idaho by his cell phone ping, where he just drove back into the neighborhood after he committed the crime, and the police and the feds tracked him all the way over to Pennsylvania? I don't know. Pennsylvania, and caught him. But yet they can't track the pings in Pastor Mejia's neighborhood?
Yeah.
In El Monte?
Yeah.
I don't buy that for a second. Look how corrupt they are. They're covering up for our president and all the crimes he's committed with the laptop from hell and his son, what's his son's name? Hunter, yeah. Hunter Biden. Anyway, but this is the types of people that we're dealing with. They're evil. They're evil workers. And so let's look at Proverbs 16, verse 27. They're always digging up evil. They're always trying to lie. They're always trying to just say all these things that are just absolutely not true about people in about pastors in our movement, about people in our churches. And they're evil workers. Look at verse 27. It says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. So what do they want to do? They want to use their lips after they dig up that evil and burn you up. That's what they want to do. These are evil workers. Look at verse 28. It says, a froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. So these are the types of, and look, these types of people creep into churches and do these things in our churches. So when people are sowing strife and telling you stories about other people and whispering and tale-bearing and all these things, those are the people you should avoid. Those aren't the people you should hang out with. And you should rebuke them sharply when they do these types of things. But obviously, you know, again, how many people have been kicked out of this church? I don't know. But I have to kick people out of my church. Pastor Mee has to kick people out of his church. I'm sure Pastor Robinson's had to kick people out. It's just sometimes these people just glom onto us. Tyler Doka glommed onto the new IFB to try to get some clout, preach some weird doctrine, the flat earth, all this other stuff, and now he's Jesus. So how do you explain that? Well, because, and why does the devil want to shut our churches down so bad? Why can't we use PayPal? Why can't we use these different things? You know, why can't we keep our tithing things on our websites? Because there's evil workers out there causing harm and working behind the scenes and trying to destroy our churches. So I wanted to mention these really quickly. I watched a couple of videos that really pissed me off lately, and they were about Pastor Shelley's protesters. So hopefully this isn't in the documentary. I don't want to spoil anything. But I watched a video where the protesters are outside Pastor Shelley's church, and this black guy rolls up, and he's like, hey, what's going on here? And this is what the guy said. He said, Steadfast teaches, if you're black, you can go to heaven only if you're a slave in heaven.
What?
Black people in here. Has anybody ever said anything like that? Vlad, where are you at? Where's Montel? Montel, can I get a witness? Has anybody ever look around you. Look, there's white faces, but there's brown faces, there's black faces. Look, this is a look at how diverse this church is. Look at how many people are here. That's insane.
That's right, yeah.
But this is what these types of people try to do to try to turn everybody, and it's wicked as hell.
Yeah.
To sit there, that's an evil worker.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guy's like, oh, well, I saw some black people walk in.
Yeah.
They already drank the slave Kool-Aid. What an idiot.
Yeah.
But the guy tells the story like he's telling the absolute truth.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he's just lying out of his forked, devilish tongue. Now, there's another, I should just not watch TikTok videos because they really make me mad. I don't have the app. I just, whatever. But there's a TikTok video also about Pastor Shelley's church. I'm sorry, Pastor Shelley. And it's a so-called female journalist. And what she says in this video is, the kids lined up and all flipped the protesters off and did a Nazi salute afterwards. All the kids at Steadfast, after church, lined up, gave them the finger, and then, Heil Hitler! I didn't know that this was going on at your church, Pastor Shelley. So, and while this person is making this claim, there's a little sticker on it. I'll tell you about that in just a second, but nowhere in the video do you see people coming in and out because they're filming them. They're standing right around. They're encompassing them like dogs, right? Because they are dogs. But they're filming all the things that they do and everything. So why were the kids lined up, though? What were they doing? What were they doing, Brother Dylan?
Getting ice cream.
Yeah, they broke the record for attendance and they were lining up for ice cream. You see how these people are? Hey, look, and these people are watching these videos. They don't know any better. They think it's true. Pastor Shelley's little Nazi Hitler youth is out there and they're preaching to black people that they have to be slaves in heaven with them. You know why? Because their ugly lies, they know the truth is going to have a hard time overcoming those things. Because if billions of people are watching these TikTok videos or millions of people are watching them, then all these people think that this is true. Here's what they also said. They said, on the sticker on the video, it says, another journalist was found dead behind in an alley. And it's just like, what are they? Oh, I know what they're talking about. They're talking about Todd Ferguson. Todd Ferguson, who's roasting in hell right now. And here's their lie that they like to tell about this. I've heard rumors that I killed Todd Ferguson. Brother Ben is apparently an assassin. Ben the Baptist. He came right from Israel, and he's a secret. He's a sleeper cell agent in the new IFB. You didn't know that Pastor Shelley paid him to murder this guy? If that was actually true, folks, we'd be in jail. They would love for that to be true. I'm sure that they've checked into that. But here's what they do. They just like keep repeating the same lies over and over again, thinking that it's going to cause some kind of investigation to happen. Well, go ahead and investigate me.
Yeah.
I'll give you all my documents. I'll give you all my bank statements. People have seen them anyway. But I'll show you whatever you want. Because there's no way in hell that you're going to prove that I had anything to do with that. You know what the guy went looking for? Some shoes. Shoes. Probably drugs. But they put this sticker on there, and they put that out there like, oh, we're just assassins. Now we're the Guild of Assassins. This is Assassin's Creed Baptist Church or whatever. Stinking idiots. But, sometimes, the more you just try to wear the police down with weird stuff like this, the more they just think that you're insane too. And in the Bible, the people would do this and try to shut down the building of the second temple and all this other stuff. And eventually they just got sick of hearing it. All the lies. Put the proof out there or shut up.
Yeah.
Because that case was closed a long time ago. Yeah, they did find him in an alley. I don't know how he died. I don't care how he died. I'm just glad he's dead.
Yeah.
Amen.
You're like, well, see, you killed him. Because I'm glad he's dead. Are you glad Osama bin Laden's dead? A lot of people are. You know, he didn't really do it, right? It's funny how he got younger as the videos came out, right? But anyway, I got to move on to the Jews and be done here. I'm really past time. So let's look at verse 2 again, where the Bible reads. So point number 1 was beware of dogs. Point number 2, I didn't even say it, was beware of evil workers. We got to beware of them because they're lying. Don't believe this garbage. Just because someone says something doesn't mean it's true.
Yeah.
And like I just proved it to you. Go look at the video for yourself. Why wouldn't they show the Hitler Youth lined up and flipping everybody off? They're showing a video, but it's not that. So shouldn't that give you a clue of the fact that it's just not true? So for that person who calls themselves a journalist, who's just lying and throwing out slander, show us the proof or shut up. And then the last point is beware of the concision. So, you know, and the Bible says right here, for we are, in verse 3, for we are the circumcision which worships God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Jews have confidence in the flesh. Jews want to follow all these weird dietary laws, and they can't even have a cheeseburger, folks. I mean, they're doomed. They can't have a cheeseburger. What in the world? I mean, there's In-N-Out in California like crazy. They can't even go to In-N-Out unless they just want a regular old burger with nothing on it. So, but why should we beware of Jews? Well, here, I'll just give you a good reason. They killed Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a good reason to avoid them. And they persecuted Christians. They're the ones that persecuted Paul everywhere where he went. And there's this term in the book of Acts, and the term is, but the Jews. Because every time something good's going on, and they're getting a bunch of people saved, and all these great things are happening, Paul's turning the world upside down, and then it says, but the Jews.
Yeah.
We're always going to be opposed by the Jews. Do you think it's any different now? And look, I'm not talking about a race of people here. I'm talking about people that are in the religion of Judaism.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why should we avoid them? Well, they killed Jesus.
Yeah.
And so, and look, they don't think we're the same as them.
Yeah.
They think we're goyim or cattle or whatever, but I'm just going to read this. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 5. I'm out of time here, but John 9:18 says, but the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called his parents of him that had received his sight. So the Jews didn't believe on him. John 19:12 says, and from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. So they try to act like they're on the Roman side just to get Jesus killed. But this is the kind of stuff that they do today too. They use all their connections. They're the banksters of the world. They're the porn industry. They're the Hollywood movie industry. They are the music industry. Like, what does NWA have to do with some Jew? Well, if you know who NWA is, it was like Eazy-E and Ice Cube and the original rap group. It was a Jew.
Yep.
Run by a Jew. It's a fact. Jerry something or other. What was the last name? Heller?
Jerry Heller.
See? It's California people. They knew. All right. L.A. But so you're in Acts 17:5. It says, But the Jews, see that term? Which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort. You know what a lewd fellow is? It's a crude and offensive. Lewd means a crude and offensive in a sexual way. These are lewd fellows of the baser sort. It means lower, just scum. Perverts. Interpret perverts there. And it says they're men. So what do you think they were? Probably fags, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Jews are always trying to use the fags to do their agenda.
Yeah.
The Jews are using all different matters of things because their father, Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil.
Right.
And the works of him, those are the works that you do, right? They're the father, the devil. When they rejected Christ, their new father was the devil. They are the synagogue of Satan. They are not better than us at everything. They are the same. They could be saved the same way as anybody else can, but they're not better than us. We're not better than them. They're just blinded because they rejected Christ. That's the facts. So you know what? The ones that are in that religion are mostly reprobates.
Yep.
Okay? I'm not saying they all are, but most of them are. They're lewd. They're crude. These people that the Jews stirred up. And, you know, the Jews were always stirring up problems in the book of Acts. And, you know, we got all these different people that put us in these hate groups, right? The New IFB. The ADL hates our guts. What are they? The Anti-Defamation League. Jews.
Yep.
And I'm pretty sure the SPLC is tied to the Jews somehow, right?
Yep.
They have to be. So, because they label us a hate group. And this is what people like to throw in our face all the time. You're listed as a hate group. Well, I list you as a hate group. How about that?
Yeah.
I think you're the hate group. I think you're the hate monger. Yep. You know, they're still talking about a church that got blown up in the South, like in the, what, the 60s? What about the church that got blown up 2 years ago? Was it 2 years ago? The 2020, was it 2021?
21.
2 years ago, one news story basically on a local LA newscast. Is it hard to find now? Still up there? Did it make the national news? Why? Why didn't that make the national news? Why are they still talking about one that happened in the 1960s and they're not talking about this one? You know why? Because the media is controlled by the Jews. You know how you know the media is lying? They open up their mouth. That's how you know. Pastor Menes knows this. This is what they do. They lie about how big our congregations are. They lie about what we believe, that we're racist Nazis, right? Well, I mean, let's just look at the diversity in here. How is that possible that we're racist Nazis when we have all different nations represented in this room right now? Liars. That's what they are. I got to be done. But, you know, the Bible says that our enemies are ever going to be with us. But all that do wickedly shall be stubble. There'll be ashes under the soles of our feet.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says, that we're going to wash our feet in the blood of the wicked.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says. And the Bible also says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Here's the ultimate silver lining, even though all these bad things exist. And yes, this is a safety meeting that you just went through, a really long one. But it's a safety meeting. And the Bible says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
If you stick and stay in a New IFB church, you're going to have great rewards in heaven.
Amen.
But we also are going to be persecuted. We're going to have these types of evil workers that we're always going to have to deal with. The Jews are always going to be against us. And you know what? The fags are always going to be against us for sure. But three things to beware of: dogs, evil workers, and Jews. Remembering this is safe for you. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this great church here and the opportunity to preach here. Lord, I hope that we just take some of these things and never forget that we have a battle in front of us, Lord. And we know that you're going to protect us. You're going to rescue us. And someday we're going to be rejoicing and telling old stories in heaven together someday. Lord, help us to not waste our life here on earth, or that we would take our life and be a sacrifice and serve you, Lord, the rest of our lives. Pray, Lord, for Pastor Mejia as he comes up. Lord, that you give him strength. And we thank you for all your blessings in this church. And I pray that you just bless the soul winning tomorrow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.